All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'll be your handler for this operation. I'm joined with my good friends, Dace, playing Benji. Say hi.
Oh yeah, bringing that disgruntled off-kilter energy that some people love and a few people really, really, really hate.
Really hate? That's why we love him. Well, by Brad, playing Hank.
Hello.
Thank you, Brad, for that.
And for highest effort, as always.
And of course, Jean, playing our lovely Benedict.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How you guys doing? It has been a real scorcher. I know Jean is literally wearing gloves and a hoodie because he is not experiencing a massive heat wave across the entirety of North America.
I'm disgruntled and off-kilter as I sit here. Yeah. In this improvised gaming nook, eating ramen noodles out of Tupperware. That sums it up pretty nicely.
Well, you know, if... out of all of us, I believe recently Dace has actually shifted to a 4 a.m. to 12 noon shift because the nature of his work is so insanely hot already.
Yeah.
That, like, man.
It's
like,
very different.
Like sexy hot?
Ooh. Yeah. Have you ever seen those welding jackets that only come to the bottom of the nips?
They're like crop tops. It's a bunch of welders out there that just have scarred ass stomachs.
They're all dressed like Zoolander in the mud.
Just covered in trash.
I will say there is something really peaceful about that schedule. About waking up at 3 and then the commute is 3:30, so there's like nobody on the road.
No one.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
And then you get to work alone in the dark for like a few hours, which is also nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my every evening. I love that part of the day. Night.
Yep.
Nobody can bother you. You feel impervious to the world. It's great.
That's a good way to put it.
I'm now imagining that Jean, like, a friend comes around to, like, say hi, and they knock on the door, and you, like, open your door, and, like, it's just dark in there. Like, you just don't have the lights on. Like, you don't have to. It's just how you do it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Photons aren't welcome.
not in this house. I had a question for you guys. Something I recently experienced. Do you guys have a game or a book or even a movie or a TV show or something that there was a time when you loved it and you went back to it time and time again, but nowadays it's like you've overdone it so much that you almost just can never enjoy it again because like you overdid it. You guys have any of those?
Totally.
What's that for you, Dace?
Books. There are a few books, like, specifically I'm thinking of David Gimmel. Mm-hmm. It's huge on David Gimmel when I was growing up. And I recently, I've been listening to a shit ton of audiobooks lately. And I listened to Just the Legend, which I wore out when I was, like, probably, you know, 18 or so.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in listening to it. I already knew everything that happened despite not having read it in like 15 years.
was that weird too? Because like, especially if you had read it before, and so like you kind of like already have your own voice, like your own internal voice for like the different characters and stuff. Like, was that a part of it? Or is it just like, you're like, meh?
No, it's just, I literally knew what was going to happen. Like, and books like Waylander, like I can almost quote those. Like I can actually, I bought Waylander in Spanish because I know the story so well that despite my shoddy understanding of Spanish, like I can still read it because I know what's going on.
Wow. You're like, well, I know we're in the 7th chapter and I know we're 8 paragraphs in, so I know this is what's happening.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You got any of those, John? You got anything that you just kind of wore out?
So there's some games that I just play too much to the point where it's not healthy anymore.
Mm.
I don't think it even got worn out. I just made a decision. So like Dota, I used to play Dota.
Ooh,
Dota? Dude, I've heard of Dota.
It's a dark space. yeah, no, it's like a 5v5 cooperative adversarial PvP game.
What does Dota stand for? I've seen it all over the
internet. Defense of the Ancients.
Defense.
Okay.
There you go, I nailed it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't anymore.
Wait, can you describe it? I think I'm the still, thing that... what kind of game is it? I'm still confused.
It's a...
Okay, you got five, like, heroes. You control the heroes, mm-hmm. and the heroes need to support the, like, trees or the other faction, and they're just sending out waves of enemies on both sides to try and get the other person's base destroyed.
It's like a top-down, real-time kind of strategy. Like, each side is constantly releasing, like, NPC waves at each other, and you're constantly like trying to attack the other base, and you're basically the players. The players are supporting that and trying to destroy the other players and also the other players' towers that defend their base, so that you can destroy their ancient, which is like their base core.
So you just got so obsessed with it that you had to.
It's crazy in depth.
No, it's just. It's really good. It's a fucking amazing game.
Oh, so it's like a...
I came out of every single match being sad. Disgruntled, sad. Angry, or sad.
Well, and the rounds... And the rounds, like, last.
And then you're like, okay, so you want to go another one? Yeah. And the answer is always yes, because there's never a feeling of, wow, that was cool.
Well,
even when it's a feeling of, wow, that was cool, you go again.
Is Dota still... There was a time where Dota was the highest paying pro... video game circuit out there. Like, it has an incredibly high skill cap. One of the big things is the rounds are like 30 minutes long. Like, you know, like you can't just sit down and knock one out like you're playing COD, you know. So it actually is a real big time sink.
Cool.
And when people talk about the amount of hours they have in Dota, they talk about like how many thousands of hours they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's how you measure how much you play.
I'd probably know a lot more from school and university if it wasn't for that game.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be so emotionally balanced.
Think how emotionally balanced you are.
How did Dota lead to your emotional balance?
That drip feed of sadness, disgruntled unhappiness, and, oh, let's go again.
That slow drip. Thing.
That can't just be good all the time.
What about
fascinating.
You? What about you, Brad? You got one of those? It's a game or a series or?
Only thing I could think of is every fight scene in The Matrix 2.
Okay.
Oh.
Because
when I was a kid, I would just skip the story and just go to the fight scenes and watch the fight scenes over. And now I hate that movie. Matrix 1's still good. Matrix 2 was never really good, but it's now really bad to me.
Okay, all right.
You were obsessed with The Matrix for a while.
I remember that, yeah.
And this would be like middle school, probably like 7th or 8th grade.
Dude, you want to talk about the perfect time to be to be into Matrix.
The Matrix was made for 13-year-old boys.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I have like a game that I'm completely sick of. Or even a book. So yeah, I'm gonna go with The Matrix 2 Reloaded.
Just the fight scenes.
What's your opinion on the two twins, the albino twins with dreadlocks?
The ghosts.
The ghosts.
They're kind of cool. They're kind of cool.
Yeah. Dude, we should next Delta Green campaign. We should be the ghosts. We should role play the ghosts.
Both of us the same exact character.
It's just the sixth sense. It's just Delta Green, the sixth sense. Oh, I'm sorry for those of listening who don't know what happens to the Sixth Sense. Whoops. For that 40-year-old movie, or however the hell old it is.
It's old.
So what's your one, Joe?
Yeah, what's yours?
Just harvesting personality data from us?
No, I recently went back and I was going to play some Civ 5, you know?
Ooh.
I played so much, and don't get me wrong, it's still good, but like, and similar to Brad, though, there are parts of Civ 5 that, and I'm not like a good Civ 5 player. Like, for those, like, on the difficulty scale, it goes from, what is it, Settler to Immortal.
Yeah.
And I usually play like just above what is considered to be the balanced play, which basically means that you and the AI players are equal. You, like, neither one of you gets a bonus. I usually play just over the top of that where the AI gets a little bit of a bonus at king difficulty. But that's it. Like, that's like, I'm not like a crazy good technical player. I've always really enjoyed it.
Well,
but there's a bit where you get, when you get pat, when you basically get to the industrial era, and because I have no interest in just like playing harder and harder difficulties, it's just not a thing. By the time I get to the industrial era, I typically have outpaced the AI in tech, and it's like, well, I know which way this is going. I know I might as well kind of quit. Like,
lucky for you, they just released a trailer for what the new Civ.
I haven't played Civ 6. I haven't played it. Never. I haven't bought it.
Oh, I thought 5 was the newest. Yeah, 6 is newest. So I guess they're coming out with 7.
Yeah. So I don't know, but like, you know, I played it just into the ground. I got into the No Quitters mod, then I got into Lek mod, like big, like fan made mods, you know, to change up the balance and stuff. And every now and then I can go back and play it, but by the time I reach typically the industrial era, I'm like, I have typically outpaced, because my big thing is like, I'm just going to destroy. During the medieval era, I'm just going to go to war with my neighbors. It's just my big thing. It doesn't matter what kind of civ I am. So maybe if I like RP a peaceful civ or something, like, like maybe it would be better. But I don't know. It's kind of wrung it out. And again, it's a great game and I love it. But I just get to that point where I'm like, I know which way this is going. I could change it if I turned up the difficulty. But I don't know. It's just here I am complaining about it. And here am I am complaining about the solution. Mm-hmm. You know,
I feel like that's not necessarily the point. Like, you shouldn't have to up the difficulty. Things like that you love so much that you wear them out. Yeah. It's like comfort food. It's like the mac and cheese of gaming experiences. Yeah. You don't want something different. Like, that's why I kept rereading those David Gimmel novels. It's like familiar, comforting.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually a really, really good way to put that. Yeah.
No, I think one of the best strategy games of all time needs to do better.
That's, you know what? They just, one of the most well-known franchises.
He's
just
a harsh critic, that Davis.
Just needs to unfuck itself. Oh, man.
So that's interesting that's where your mind went, Brad, because my mind went to, I need to find Dace's copy of David Gemmell's Waylander and insert it there and see how that comes
just
out.
Gaslight
with the insanity comes in.
You just
like, wait a second.
Yo, just, why is Waylander touching himself like that?
That'd be hilarious.
Really throw him for a loop. God, like, what would you even think? Like, I would literally think like, I'm starting to. Every now and then, I'm like, have I had a stroke? You know, like something, I'll say something or think something. I'm like,
We should probably get started, but that reminds me of a scene in a Joe Abercrombie novel that I listened to recently that's so absurd.
Don't spoil it for me, because I'm going to read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, never mind.
Well, speaking of comforting things that we always go back to, that we just love and know and understand with every ounce of our being, let's talk about impossible landscapes. How about that?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Ironic transition. You're experimenting.
Yeah, we're really moving out. Yeah. So, last time, guys, you guys in Hotel Broad Albin, after everything that's happened to get you here, you guys finally found your way in after a running gunfight, Hank almost fucking dying. You met a few people on the way. Last time, I can't recall. You met Miriam Darabondi. You met, what was her name? Vicky, whatever the hell her name was, who was Victor Carell's girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
You know, who looked like she had been, thank you for that. Who looked like, you know, she had been.
Don't
Ben
help
hung.
Him, Brad. This is where he slips. This is where he gives up more than he needs. Don't help him. This is the test.
He's vulnerable, Strike.
He's vulnerable. But you guys, last time, you guys had talked to, you know, and you talked to Mark Rourke a little bit. You talked to, you had been assigned or kind of given this job to, hey, like, by, what's his, What is his name? Elmer Lawsett. That's right. Elmer Lawsett. You had asked him, like, hey, we kind of want to find the Whispering Labyrinth. And he told you, hey, if all you got to do is go fix this room for me. You got to go fix room 830. You guys agreed, and you set off. One thing that you did ask for is you actually asked to... You asked for a different room. On the way up to your new room, your lakeside view room, you actually met someone. You met this, what's his name? Private Rovan Lobolas, a World War II, World War II soldier who, you know, you talk to him. He seems to think he might be in hell, you know, or something like that, right? You know, and you convince him to follow you, to come, hey, come with us. We're going to take you back to your commanding officer. You actually have someone who you know, had some military history kind of knowledge, and they were able to kind of manipulate that, so good on you. You did the thing that all GMs hate, which is you added NPCs to the fucking party.
Score.
I'm going for a high score here. Yeah. I'm going for a high score here. Joe, every game you run, I'm going to rope in an NPC.
You guys manage to go to your room, and you see and you hear these explosions, these artillery rounds, something very similar outside of what you saw actually briefly while you were in the Dorchester in the Night World. You guys leave out to go to room 830, I believe. To go fix this room. Hank, and of course, the first thing you do is you get your new NPC friend to go in first. And as that happens, then Hank goes in, doing the very Hank thing that he would. He rushes in to save Lobolas and is pulled into this world where he's seeing Benji Potts' funeral and Benedict is there. Manages to snap out of it. It's some type of hallucination or trick or something. Manages to snap out of it and seemingly kind of fix the room. Now, when you kind of come to, you save Private Lobolas from drowning in the bathtub, you realize that the room appears to be a place where bottles are made. Are made in a bizarre fashion, by the way. There seems to be like a pneumatic tube system like in the wall that actually delivers Patsu to this location. And then there's like this weird machine that kind of turns out bottles. And as you guys are just kind of trying to figure this out, this purple-robed mannequin with this silver corkscrew around its neck rises up and actually takes the bottle and begins to leave. You guys follow it. The sommelier. You guys follow the sommelier down the stairs into the basements. And I believe last time that is where we stopped. Now, when we were in the sanity check, we actually kind of discovered that we had been doing something a little bit wrong. As we are wont to do, because I'm not good at this. These guys are... If I'm not good, then these guys, yeesh. You know what I'm saying?
We like to shoot from the hip around here.
Yeah. But we realized that something about Benji... we had actually been doing exhaustion wrong. Benji should have been rolling a bunch of stuff at some negatives and whatnot. And we talked about a little sanity check. I don't remember exactly what we came to. But one of the things that we were talking about is... Benji should probably be at least a negative 10 because of exhaustion. Because he hasn't been able to get any sleep. And this may or may not have affected some sanity rolls that he did. Let's take a look real quick at the roll 20. Because I want to go back up and I want to see the sand check, the last sanity check that Benji did. Well, it was a failure anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. 82 over 32.
I could have sworn it was something else. Because I thought it was something we were discussing, and it was like a guaranteed this would have happened. Not like it might have happened.
No. No, this is what it is. It's okay. because Benji took sanity damage. Because he took one sanity damage from an unnatural. He should have had a break. He should have gone into a catatonic state.
But he already failed the sanity check.
You're right. He took the sanity damage.
But he didn't go to Captonic.
So we didn't roll for him to see if he wanted to avoid it. So that's where we are here. So here we are. We're going to start right here. We're going to address this. Because this might make things very, very interesting. And I just want to let you know, personally, I don't usually do this. I'm going to pull back the curtain on Joe for a second. Not even a curtain.
Oh, he's naked.
Switch your
close your eyes.
Avert them. I'm going to pull back the curtain on Joe. I would love for you guys to get lost down here in the basements. I would love it. Like, I think it would be great. So that's what I'm shooting for.
Does this go by maybe another name as well? That starts with an L.
This basement.
A labyrinth of sorts? Is that what this basement labyrinth. Is?
Oh, no, you guys haven't even reached the labyrinth yet.
You remind me of the babe.
The babe.
The babe with the power.
The power.
No. Continue.
Yeah. So David Bowie enters the hallway.
Delighted to be here with all of you.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So here we are. We're gonna address this right now. So Benji lost some sanity when you guys witnessed this stuff happen in the room. So that being said, here is the part where we need to decide what Benji is going to do. Because unless Benji... Benji.
Okay, wait, but from a role-playing side, are we literally staring at... Are we staring at the sommelier who's just entered a door that's going to take us deeper into...
You guys have just come out of the stairwell, and you are starting down the hallway, and we'll say that the sommelier is ahead of you as you guys come through this door.
Yeah, we're going to follow him because we wanted the bottle he had, maybe. Who did we see? We saw whose bottle it was as well, right?
I think I had said whose it was, but I do not even remember.
I think we did.
Shit, we definitely should have written that down.
Well, I think that was...
Or do you have it?
No.
Okay. But you guys were going to follow him. So here's my question to Dace. Dace, this is going to trigger an acute episode, right? Because you have... You know, because you have this standing catatonia disorder. So, you can attempt to repress it, which is going to be difficult for you because of just kind of where your sanity is and whatnot. Just kind of like due to the way that the repressing rules start. That the first thing you'll have to do is burn some willpower. Then you will have to burn some bond power, and then you will attempt a sanity roll.
That's not even guaranteed.
Yeah, so it's like, and what is Benji's sanity?
Let's see. Sanity is 31. Breaking point is 24.
Yeah, so that's only a 31% chance after burning all that willpower. Or you could just succumb to the catatonia. And we could see if these guys can carry you fast enough to keep along up with the sommelier. That is the risk.
It's interesting because this wouldn't be a terrible place to have a break.
Not the worst. There's no imminent danger.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. There's never a good place to have a catatonic break, but we're not in combat.
Right.
If I have the break, is it, like, done with? Like,
if you have the break,
I take damage from the unnatural again, will I have to go, like, through this whole process again? Or it's like, you do it once and then it's done?
So, basically, it's any time that you experience sanity loss from the same type that gave you the original disorder. Specifically, your catatonia disorder is given to you by unnatural damage, so unnatural damage is what triggers your catatonia. It's like having PTSD, in a way. Even though PTSD is a specific thing in here, but it's like that.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to fall back on my primary directive as a player of games and do the more interesting thing, which is going to be to resist.
Yeah.
because catatonic players are boring characters.
I will also note that anyone who makes a psychotherapy role can attempt to talk you, to kind of like get through to you and actually talk you out of it if you go into it. One of these catatonic fugues.
Either of y'all have any psychotherapy?
No. 12. 2 above 10. 2 above the baseball
as well.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to resist.
Okay. So
Benji is probably going to come out fucked up on the other side of this.
I think you will likely come out fucked up on the other side of this.
Positive thoughts.
Let's do it.
All right. So the first thing you're going to do is you are going to attempt to repress. The first thing you'll do is you will roll a 1d4 for willpower. How much willpower do you currently have?
5.
Hmm.
Yep.
Keep in mind that if you're below 2 willpower, you take a negative 20 on everything.
Every single thing.
Yeah. This is the game.
Well, nice knowing you, Benji. Let's roll a d4.
Let's roll a d4.
4.
Holy shit.
4. Damn it. 4 willpower. Ouch. Leaving you at a grand total of 1.
Oh, man.
1.
That's rough.
Willpower. As
the
Benji,
dice gods have spoken.
The dice gods have spoken as Benji. Say we all. As Benji is attempting. Again, not even guaranteed still. That he is going to push through this.
Brutal.
It is brutal. It's a brutal game. Yeah, because I'm looking at willpower 1 or 2. Negative 20 to everything. Yeah. All right. So now go ahead and we are going to burn some. We're going to burn some bond. Okay. We're going to reduce a bond by 4 as well. We're going to use the same roll. So you need to reduce a bond by 4. Which bond are you going to reduce?
I have to do it. I have to take it away from my long time. No, 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 no. I can't do it because that could be catastrophic. If I roll a 4, I've only got 3 bond left with you. So if I roll a 4... Oh. Then our bond is broken. And who knows what the fuck that means?
What happens when a bond breaks? Yeah, I'm actually not sure of that.
Look, man, I can guarantee you we're already going to wind up fucked up enough. We don't have to double down.
Fine.
So it'll be against Zara, my long-term love interest, who has never come into the story.
Who has never come into the story. Okay, yeah, Zara is going to be...
Will.
Yeah. All right.
You don't know that. She might be my next character.
Maybe.
D4?
No, it's already a 4. It's a 4. It's the same as what you lost.
Oh, fuck.
For your willpower.
Well, puts me at a 5 with her.
Alright, now you attempt a sanity roll. Now, if you were to have a Joken, previously known as Juice, I would allow you to use it for this.
Would be a good time for it.
I'm just saying.
A Joken?
Joking, were you not here for that?
That feels like something I would have made up. Maybe I made that up. It's just so ridiculous.
That was Brad. That was 100% Brad. I remember listening to it.
Oh, was that Brad? Amazing.
All right, let's see that sanity roll.
I don't have a joke. I don't think any of us do. I used it on something.
I don't have one written down. So
sounds like you don't have one.
Well, check another paper.
Scouring my character sheet.
Check another page.
Well, if I just... type.
Oh my god.
In.
No, just fucking just roll the dice.
Use
Come
my
on,
keyboard
guys.
To type
we
in one joking.
We can get the section started. Let's go.
All right. Sanity roll.
Let's see. Want to get under 31.
Failure.
43 over 33. All right. Benji just burnt a whole bunch of bonds and a whole bunch of willpower. And he still is going to fail. And he is going... You guys, as you're going down the stairs, you know, and it's... The further down you get, much like the rest of the Hotel Broad album, but it seems like the further down you get, like, yeah, things are kind of run down. This is getting like, this is the employees area, so this is the area that doesn't get maintained even when things are in great shape. Things are getting more and more run down, and as you're going down, I imagine, you know, like, you know, maybe Hank's up front. Well, Hank's still kind of busted up, so maybe Benedict's up front. You know, you like open the, you know, the stairwell door is just closing as you get to it, and you push it open. You see the sommelier going around a corner up ahead of you. You see that purple robe begin to swish around. You turn back, you know, for Hank, and just as you do, you look over Hank's shoulder, Benedict, and you see Benji as he's making his way, just as his foot hits the last step, and you see that he is beginning to slow. And you see that as his hand is on the rail, his eyes are wide and his expression is far away. You've seen him do this before.
Maybe, like,
Hank, we gotta stop.
As he's like sort of going into this catatonia, he's like,
Benedict, is that my bottle?
No, like the salt from the distance, and then just like vacant.
Yeah, you've lost him.
All right, can I try a psychotherapy roll? Like, if Benedict already has seen this before, he's gonna try.
You can try,
Benji. Benji, what do you, come back. You've seen this before.
Do you have something in psychotherapy?
Don't go there again.
Oh, he has the baseline.
I've got 12. I got a 1 in 10, baby.
Let's roll it. Give it a go.
Can I, just to make sure that the bingo sheet is accurate, given that I've been here before.
For those of you who didn't know, one of our wonderful fans created a bingo sheet on our Reddit. And one of them, I believe, is Jean tries to argue for a bonus.
I just want to get whoever made that really drunk. They're doing it with drinking bingo. So is that a yes?
I don't know, man. That's gonna have to be a no for me. Okay.
That's a no. Oh,
that is a psychotherapy success.
Yes,
holy that's a shit. That's a 10 wow. under 12.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Crazy.
Oh my
Benedict
god.
Coming in clutch.
Benji,
what does he say?
Yeah, how does he that snaps that. Him out?
He actually goes up to him. He is so sick of this. He's like, Benji, you stop that. And he looks him with a face, with a finger to his face. And he says, stop that. And Benji's like, not really there. So he actually slaps him in the face. Benji!
Classic.
Wham! Get back here. That's not your bottle. And where the hell is Private... Where's Lobolus?
Yeah,
what have you done with him?
Lobolus is with you.
Focus.
Yeah.
He's just behind. I'm just like...
Benji, like... shivers and he's like,
I thought I saw my bottle, Benedict. I feel like I might be losing
it. Real quick though, there's something I should have told you that I want to address right here real quick. Okay. And because I didn't tell you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make a decision. I'm not going to take away your role.
I was doing a Civ 5
episode 7 on page 70, under sanity, when we're talking about acute episodes, someone who makes a psychotherapy roll can talk an agent down despite the crisis or presence of the trigger, reducing the impact of the disorder so that agent regains self-control. That takes several minutes. Specifically states that in the book, otherwise I wouldn't bring it up. So,
okay.
If you
so I can't just slap
if you want to do this,
he just sits there.
Just slapping.
Stop it.
You're like at one point in time, Benedict's arm gets tired. He's like, Lobolus, get in here. So you need to make the decision.
Yes,
I'm gonna say you cannot do this on the run. If you want to stop and do this.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
If you want to stop and do this, like you might risk losing your trail here. Unless Hank wants to go ahead and separate the party, split the party.
Of course.
Unless Hank wants
Hank,
to
take
split the
well, I think
party.
If I remember correctly, like Lobolus is like also kind of had some kind of mental break. Like I had to make a strength check to bring him along. So he's probably not doing too well.
We'll Hank's say that, like, that
did trench.
Did you physically have to pick him up? I remember he had himself a little bit of a break.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still doing well now. I had to sort of force him out of the room. I think Hank just like, God damn it, and just throws Lobolus on the ground. What's going on with Benji?
Okay, you turn around, you quickly but gently enough set Lobolus down as to avoid giving him like a concussion as the sommelier drifts around a corner as you turn to care to your team.
And that makes, I think, sense. Benji's catatonia, the way it manifests, he's like singing under his breath old T-Model Ford songs like
chicken-headed man.
Chicken-headed man.
Chicken-headed man. Stella, I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
Which is an actual T-Model Ford lyric.
Yeah, so you're okay. Able to get Benji back with the... Now, but here's the thing. When Benji kind of comes back to, after... You know, your hand is tired. So tired. Yeah. And Benji, by the time you come through, you like one of your eyes is starting to swell shut again. But I'm going to tell you, Hank and Benedict both, Benji is not well. Benji is... Maybe he's on the verge of... I don't know, like what is Benji's like emotional break look like?
Yeah, I think, like I just said, I think he's just like out of it and singing T-Model 4 lyrics. Maybe he's singing Sail On. That would be a good, yeah. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, you guys, Benji's with you, but he's kind of in his own world. You, Hank, you worry. I think you out of everyone, or you know, maybe even Lobolus, maybe even like, you know, he's kind of come to, you know, he kind of had this whole thing. It's like the episode of Rick and Morty where Morty lives the entire life as inside the simulation and then comes out and it's all freaking out. Like, Lobolus, yeah. Like, it's, you think that Lobolus, like, it sounds like he thought he was back home and he's like, he's so devastated, but now he, you know, it takes a little bit of time to soothe Benji. You think Lobolus is kind of back with it. He's like, you know, has his helmet and he like puts it back on his head or like, you know, back under his arm. He's standing there. He looks at you, Hank, Lobolus, like, again, this young guy, this old World War II, you know, olive drab, you know, uniform, you know, and holding his rifle still. He kind of looks at you and he kind of gives you like a kind of look and he kind of shakes his head. He's like, and he mouths to you. He mouths shell shock to you. He's like, shell shock, you know, to...
Now, Lobolus, I have none of that. No, Benji's been through more than you know. Now, and then he comes over to Benji. He's like, Benji, look at me, man.
Like, out of it.
Yeah.
Slap him one more time.
One more good time.
A spray of blood shoots out the side of Benji's mouth.
Come on, Benji.
Splatters on Lobolus.
This is... We've all seen a lot. We've all been through a lot. This is no... We can't have you falling down on us now.
And sail on. Has it been a couple of minutes yet?
Yeah. Yeah, by this time, like, Benji, you've kind of come to as well as you and can. But, like, you're not... Again, he's not well, guys. But, so, you're now standing here at the bottom of this stairwell.
What does that look like? What is that... Are you just, I guess, pointing out how frail he is? In terms of willpower and everything else.
That's really what I'm pointing out.
Or is something happening?
No, he's he's not okay. He's not doing good. He's
breaking out in cold sweats. His hands are shaking. Oh. Might be a little bit of
knees
like,
weak.
The palms are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti. Yeah.
Benji, you're gonna hold this. Like, Benedict is gonna crumple up. I don't know. He's got a jacket on or something. He's gonna crumple up the jacket. So you're gonna hold this. This is your meatball, buddy. You got a meatball. The whole
don't
way
look
home.
At anything.
Going back to the room.
Meat.
You are Do you remember Meatball? You remember Meatball?
You remember Meatball?
Good Benedict, you wouldn't happen to have a drink on you, would you?
We will go get you one. I think I know a guy. I know a guy who has a drink on him. We're going to take you straight to Mark to settle you down a little.
Maybe.
Sure could use a drink.
Maybe if we're all in agreement, maybe it's not the best idea to chase this mannequin. Maybe we should regroup, go back to try to find Mark, at least Elma, and then once we've got our wits about us, then try to tackle this labyrinth situation. Because Elma does owe us an explanation. We did fix that room.
He does.
At a cost, for sure, but we fixed it.
And I think we need to change our room again. That room is ridiculous.
Well.
Alright, so we're going to go back. We're going to try and get back to Elmer.
Who's leading the way?
Benji will take the lead.
I'll lead the way.
You think Benji will take the lead?
No, Meatball, buddy. Meatball back up. Meatball from the rear.
Alright.
Benedict, maybe you should... I know it's not normally your style, but I'm still a little beat up. I can keep an eye on Benji and the soldier.
Well, guy's got a name, Hank, but yes, let's go.
And what was it that Benedict gave Benji? A crumpled up what?
Like his jacket?
Jacket.
A jacket, okay. He's just like cradling it in his arms and like petting it like a cat.
Meatball.
Okay. So what is the plan?
What do we need to do to get back?
Are you just trying to go upstairs?
We're trying to get back. Yeah, back upstairs, back to Elmer to talk to him, and then probably past Mark to try and get Benedict a bit better and maybe recuperate.
Okay. Alright. So who is leading the way again? Was that Benji? Were you actually gonna?
That's me.
All right, go ahead and roll me a sanity check. What'd you say?
That is a success. He's on fire. 58 under 60.
All right, yeah.
He will never fail a roll.
Never.
This entire session.
Not even
die.
Chosen one. Not even God.
Not even God himself. So, yeah, you start to head back up the stairs. As you're going, there's a moment where you hear a door above you open. You know, and you hear someone walking. It appears they two are walking up. But they're like several flights above you. It doesn't take, and they seem to be in quite a hurry, kind of like running up the stairs almost. Maybe if you peek up kind of between the stairs, like looking up the flights, you can just barely make out. It looks like a large man wearing white scrubs. He seems to be in a real hurry. As you hear him close the doors behind him, there's a moment there, Benedict, where you're like, wait a second. How many flights did we come down? And you realize that you don't know. Not only that, you realize that you don't know how many flights you've been going up. At this point in time, you might hazard to reach out and open the door to the floor you're on. And it appears to still be the basements.
Oh, fuck. How long has this been?
We'll say you guys were trying to go up, like, probably just like, oh, we've been walking up like 10 minutes. Seems like we should be there by now. You're not.
Good lord. We're not in.
Is that guy still there?
Or do you attempt to go after him? I mean, he's like pretty far up. I mean, like, you're gonna have to really show out if you want to actually get to him in time.
Well, I was gonna try and shout at him. You there?
Yeah.
Can I get his
attention? You can. It's like maybe you see him briefly, like, look over. And you think you recognize him. He reminds you of one of the, actually, why don't I just give you a name?
Don't say the orderlies.
Why don't I just give you a damn name? He appears to be... Oof, I went too far.
Michael Devon.
I was not going to say Devon. I was going to say one of the other ones. Shit me. I'm taking way too long to do this. No, here he is.
King. King in yellow.
Ding. How do you King do? King in yellow. No, he actually...
Let me roll against him right now. I'm on fire, baby.
No, he looks like like one of the other ones that you saw. A Richard Bryce, who I believe you guys ran into at least once. Remind you of him.
Okay.
Richard.
He seems...
Richard! Richard, is that you?
He seems to be in too much of a hurry to stop. He keeps on going.
Richard!
Richard! Richard!
It's no use, Benedict. We've just been going in circles for at least 10 minutes. Benji, how you holding together?
Meatball?
Alright, he seems normal.
Lobolus is just shaking his head again, just...
Now, Lobolus, positive thinking. We need to, I don't know what we need to do. Hank's gonna do a search. I don't. We're at a stairwell. I don't know what this. You know, we need some variety in what we're doing, obviously, to change.
Okay.
Success, 28/73.
All right. As you're kind of looking around, there is, you know, as you look down, you see what. You know, or maybe go up a little more, maybe go down a little bit more. You're checking some more doors. But, Hank, at some point in time, you look down the staircase and you see what appears to be the bottom. Like, you see what appears to be where the stairs come to a landing where there are no more stairs down. And you see that, you know, just looking down again between the flights, as you look down, you see there looks to be something pushed off to the side, like some type of, like, some boxes, or it looks like some equipment or something like that, as you, like, peer down.
Benedict, take a look at this. And he shows them, like, the floor. Perhaps if we go to the furthest floor down, we can maybe navigate our way to the elevator. Mm.
Charlie! He just starts shouting, Charlie! And nothing happens.
You hear a door.
Oh.
Open?
Yeah, you hear a door open beyond, like, in the door that exits the stairwell. You hear a door beyond that one open.
Can we
From a closed door that we're next to.
Yeah, like the doors that go out from the stairwell.
Okay.
Down
so,
or through, Benedict.
So what is this? Hank, I don't know what I'm seeing here. Is this a floorboard? Is this... What is going on? Why did you get my attention for this? I'm trying to get us out of here.
We can go to the very bottom of this building, but let me roll an alertness to see if I can see what this shit is next to... at the bottom. Success.
It's hard to see from here, but, like, it looks to be, like, maybe just, you can just barely catch, like, is that, like, the head of a pickaxe? Like, again, it's, like, a very slim view you have down here. There's, like, stuff down at the bottom.
A pickaxe, like they've been digging. A pickaxe. Let's go down, Benedict. Seems more interesting.
Hank, every time we do the interesting stuff, somebody almost gets killed. But, yeah.
That is fun.
It is. I agree. I'm having the time of my life, Hank. Time of my goddamn life.
Benji, we're gonna get out of here, son. Pull it together.
And it's at this point, Benji is like dancing with Meatball, like in a David Lynch scene, and he's just like,
yellow king's cloak all spun of gold will caress us all with delights untold.
That's beautiful. He's getting better.
But you aren't actually in a fugue state at the moment, right? You came out of it, so
you can't. No, he just got one willpower.
That's just him.
What?
One willpower?
Benji, it would be beneficial if we had a more stealthy approach to whatever's down here.
Right. The Yellow King's.
So you guys are going to head to the bottom?
Instead of singing it.
You guys are going to head to the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get down, you get on the bottom, and shoved underneath the stairs are some crates, and it doesn't take long. There's a crowbar there, and again, you do see there is what appears to be a pickaxe and some shovels and sledgehammers. There's ropes. There's old school mining helmets that actually have a candle. You know, with a little bit of oil thing up on them.
Exposed? Is there tunnels?
There is not, but this equipment is used, and there's even dirt kind of around, but there's nothing dug out here. It appears that this might be where the equipment is being kept. It's all kind of here, and Lobolas, is kind of opening the. He opens them and he pulls out some rope and stuff. And he just kind of shrugs. What the hell? And about that time, there's a door down here, and you hear sounds behind the doors. It's the sounds of movement and idle speaking of people. Not excited or anything, just kind of. And it's kind of a mechanical kind of whirring, or kind of sound that's going on. Right behind this door.
Can we...
What would you like to do?
Stealthily try and... The word.
Yeah, if you'd like.
Over here.
If you'd like to roll a stealthy type roll, besides just narratively telling me you want to do it quietly.
I don't know how much noise I would make going up and listening to a wall, but...
Okay, you don't have to roll a roll. You can just go in there and look.
I don't want to look. I just want to listen.
You tell me.
Can I roll?
Okay, you just want to listen?
How about an alertness? Can I alert?
Roll an alertness check. What an excellent use for an alertness check.
There you go. Stealth.
Well, let's see what you can do. Always remember to mark your failures, right?
He'll never fail.
Failures, baby.
He'll never fail. No, you hear... 55. You hear what sounds like... You put your ear and you... The sound, this sounds like washing machines. And you hear people talking about, no, fold those and put those over there, or hey, where are the fitted sheets, and stuff like that. It sounds like people talking about a laundry back behind here. You even hear the sound of steam releasing, psss, and stuff like that. So it sounds like a laundry. Makes sense. You're in a big hotel. They probably have a laundry room. That's
interesting.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Benedict, did it sound performative? It might be a scene, or did it sound like an actual reaction?
Rhubarb.
I think as far as I can tell, it's a normal laundromat to me.
Roll a luck check. Benedict. Tell me what you get.
That is a failure.
Oh, what the hell?
As your ear is to the door opens.
Oh, come now. That is...
I'm not going to make you take damage.
Hello?
I could, but I'm not going to.
Is there somebody on the other
The door
side?
Opens... There is a man comes out. He appears to be he's kind of wearing one of these bellhoppy type outfits. Oh. And he, as he's coming out, he has an unlit cigarette in his mouth.
Oh, can I bum a cigarette?
And a matchbook in his hand. And he comes out. He's like, oh, sorry. And he takes the cigarette out. He's like, oh, sorry about that. That's he bumps into your head. He's like, oh, pardon, sir. He's like, and he goes to. Head upstairs.
Excuse me, sir.
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh?
Don't go anywhere.
We're
mid light. Huh?
We're a bit lost. We're trying to find the elevator to get out to the floors above.
He lights a cigarette. He's like, just take the stairs.
Yeah, we tried that.
We tried.
And
he starts walking up the stairs. It seems to be very intent on smoking his cigarette. He's like, elevator's through there, and he points the door that he came through. And he starts, you know, like marching up the stairs. I would say he takes out a phone and starts fucking with it, but he definitely doesn't have one.
Okay. So can we get a cigarette for my buddy?
For who?
For Benji.
Sure, he'll give you a cigarette.
Can it mechanically help him in any way? Like,
no.
With his addiction? Fine.
Nope.
Well, then I'm
you can technically, I think, chain smoke to stave off exhaustion effects, but he's not going to give you enough cigarettes to chain
Benji,
smoke.
Yeah, smoke this.
Smoke these.
Yep, he's going to kind of stomp upstairs as he's trying to smoke his cig.
Could you... He seems like a... Go ahead.
Is he gone? God damn it, Hank. Have we just been talking to ourselves?
He's going.
You. Can
well,
we go
I
with
was
you?
Just gonna go.
No. I'm taking. I'm on break.
Yeah, but we can take a break.
Nah, you don't work here, man. And
we actually have just done a job for Elmer.
He doesn't want to talk to you. He wants to take his smoke break.
God damn it! What an asshole. Is it just me? Guys, is it me? Do I just get the assholes? Like, when I speak to Elmer, he's an asshole. When I talk to this guy, I think my only friend is Charlie. And Benji. Maybe Hank.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah. Should have offered him tea.
Oh,
God damn it.
What do you guys do?
Let's go try to find this elevator through the door.
Yeah.
Benji's going to grab a pickaxe.
Okay, you can absolutely grab a pickaxe. Add that to your character sheet if you're going to.
Hank's gonna grab some dirt.
Hank, add a pocket full of dirt to your character sheet, please.
I feel like I will take the rope.
Okay. So you, you have like a coil of rope wrapped around you, like
Private.
Crossways around your shoulder.
What are you taking?
You might look right nice in one of them miner's helmets.
Oh, I've already got a helmet. I mean,
that Wolf's one has a light on it.
Okay, you convince him to take a miner's helmet.
This is every GM's favorite moment when the PCs just start picking up random bullshit.
He's our pack.
He's your pack mule.
Animal.
He's like using a follower in Skyrim to carry all your shit.
Yeah. Just loaded. All
stuff. Right, what is this wash machine?
Okay.
Look like.
You open the door and you see it's a low ceilinged kind of like very industrial type room, and there are along one wall is just these big industrial, like almost as tall as a person, like these big industrial washing machines. You know, with the big glass doors, you see sheets, you know, and other, you know, like, you know, and bedding and stuff going around. And there are a few people in here. It's like, you know, probably three or four of these bellhoppy, you know, kind of clad people, you know, different like men and women. And, you know, and they're cleaning and folding, and there's towels and whatnot. They, you know, they've got these big carts of dirty ones, and they've got some carts full of clean ones. And they seem very intent. It is so hot in here. It is like steamy. You know, like maybe they're, you know, on one side there probably is like a woman who's steaming, you know, like or ironing, you know, has like a big industrial press that like irons like entire sheets at once kind of thing. And it's just like it's steamy and warm in here. And all above you are these pipes that are like kind of clanking when, you know, and like kind of groaning with the steam and everything inside them. These guys, they, you know, there's like you get like an eyebrow from one guy who then like maybe looks over at one of the women and she also does an eyebrow, and they just like they just seem very much like fuck it, like they've got their own shit going on. They're not worried. They don't seem to worry about you guys. So and besides that, inside the like down on one side, like toward the end, you see that there are, you know, like a few doors, like kind of you have to walk through the laundry room to kind of get to them. What do you guys want to do here? Do you want to engage more NPCs in conversation?
I actually do, but I feel like he was being catty, so I don't think I can.
Oh?
Well, don't mind us. We're just passing through, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Can we see anything?
Let's go through one of the doors.
I don't know. Can Benji see anything?
I would...
Benji, what is
this? I would say that... What? Were you asking Benji?
Yeah.
You just asked me to, like... Why Benji? Like, are you asking me to make an alertness?
Is there anything unnatural about this place?
this unnatural laundry room.
Why don't you roll on a cult or something so we can see if you lose some more sanity in this washing machine?
Ain't no goddamn bloodhound. Ain't like I just catch whiffs of unnatural. But alright, I'll do it.
What are you rolling?
Success on a cult.
Wow.
I don't think you're going to get anything with a cult here, honestly. I'm sorry.
I mean, I didn't expect to. So fair.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just go through them doors. I think this might just be a waste of time.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys are just gonna try to head out the other side.
I want to see. Is there anything around us? Like, is there anything noteworthy in the room, or maybe an intelligence? Should we know what we're doing?
So as you guys begin to go out, you see that there is, near the door, there is like a short hallway that goes to the left. And, you know, it sounds like Benedict is curious. You know, so he like pokes his head around. And you see that there is like, the whole floor in here looks to have been burgundy carpet, like the rest of the hotel at some point. But it's all bleach stained. Right, you know, because of all the laundry stuff, you know, so like it's almost completely white, you know, or you know, that kind of burnt white in a lot of places. But you like poke your head around and you see that there is an area that is a little further away from the machines and stuff, and the carpet is still very much that kind of red burgundy color. And you see that there is off to the side, there's like a big pile of laundry. You hazard, I guess, a look up, and you see that there is what appears to be like a hole in the ceiling. This looks to be basically like a landing pad for laundry. And that's... It doesn't take much of a look to notice that in this big pile of dirty laundry that there's something out of place. Maybe even Benedict, you know, you could swear you see the logo of AC/DC.
What?
In the shirts, dirty shirts.
Yeah. Is that Thunderstruck? Is that what that is? What would Benedict like to do? I
really...
see he himself is thunderstruck. And so,
I see what you did there. It's very, very clever. I guess need to investigate. Too out of place.
Yeah, you go over and you know, and you're, it's not like you're getting terribly far from these guys, you know, and I'm sure they see you go, but it's like you pick it up and it's like they're. In with the sheets, there are definitely the clothes of like some torn jeans, you know, some like band shirts and things like that. You know, that are definitely out of place here. But in and amongst them, there are also kind of wadded up are some outfits, but they are not, they are like, there's like a bellhop's uniform, right? But there's also one that, and each of them has like a little pin, like pinned to the collar, right? With a little label on it. And like the bellhop one says, bellhop. And there's one that's like, it's like a suit, just like a suit and like matching suit and pants, but it says gangster. And then there's another one that says businessman. There's another one that says butcher. And you're looking through these and you realize that you, or make that intelligence check. Let's see if you can remember where you might have seen this before.
I get a critical success.
Brit.
The Samahina home.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that's where we were going.
Really?
And your eyes are drawn up to the laundry chute.
Wait, the laundry you saw chute. These clothes in her house?
Yes.
We were on the other side of the laundry chute, right?
Oh, they did? He didn't she did have like that.
Oh, is that where we broke the bottle?
Benedict, you are drawn to the laundry chute. And you look. You hear something. It sounds like a shout.
Oh, okay.
Come from the laundry chute.
Can Benji, I think I know what's happening. Guys, get here. We're gonna catch this thing. Something turned off. We're gonna catch this.
You
catch what?
Just come here.
You look up and you see a flashlight shining down at you, and you can hear the sounds of someone yelling down at you, and you try to yell back. You try to yell back, but the din of the machines seems to drown you out. And before long, a piece of paper is dropped down the laundry chute. It falls at your feet. And you stare down at a slip of paper written in Benji Potts' hand that says, blink once for help. Blink twice for okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Got milk.
That feels like a lifetime ago.
And roll a sanity check.
Because there's four figures staring up at us, right?
And go ahead and roll a sanity check.
All of us?
No, just Benedict. This all kind of happens before he gets the chance to, you know, to really engage you guys.
35.
Right. Solid.
I think roll 20 is just broken for me. I'm just on fire.
Zero sanity damage for you. Yeah, he's broken into the code.
Can I try and communicate back?
You do, but like as you go to look back up, like they appear to be gone.
Yeah.
Worlds are colliding.
Damn it. Alright, I'm not gonna tell you what that I thought a bomb was gonna drop, but I think I was in a wrong part of my story. It's like Benedict is obviously a little frazzled by this. Like, I thought I was gonna catch a bottle, I thought I was gonna change our future. But it's just a note. It's just a note from old Benji.
What the hell are you talking about, Benedict?
Don't worry about
change
it.
Change the future.
Meatball.
Oh.
Meatball. Gotcha. So you guys turn to go through this door that you're told leads to the elevator, and as you do, there is a Benedict, as you turn around and you're about to turn back the corner back away from the chute, you hear this hollow knocking noise. As you glance over your shoulder, you see the figures of four mannequins now standing underneath the chute, all looking up.
Oh.
And I imagine you just say to yourself, Nope, not today, as a bottle falls in between them and shatters.
Damn it.
Okay, because that's what we did. We saw four figures looking up at us, and we threw I think the kid's bottle with Patsu in it or something. Or not, it wasn't Patsu, it was like some nasty shit.
The daddy juice.
Yeah, the daddy juice.
Right.
We've
had some good times, haven't we?
Yeah. So you guys open the door, and as you open the door, you are surprised to hear the sound of another door, of like of someone fumbling with keys, right? And as you open this door, you see a long hallway. And again, like not like the hotel with, you know, like where things are kind of done up, even if they are deteriorating, not like, you know, rooms of guests, but it feels very much like a tenement, like all crunched together. And you see, as you open the door, you hear someone fumbling with their keys. And you see there standing before you, in front of a room labeled only with the number 2.
Charlie.
Charlie.
You see Charlie.
Guido.
Oh. Oh, you made it.
Oh.
Welcome.
Is it tea time?
Oh boy, is it tea time. And that is probably a good place for us to stop for this one. Gentlemen.
Cool.
I just feel like that was a
I've never had a tea party cliffhanger before.
Like a classic tea party cliffhanger?
We've come in contact with our past / future selves twice.
Yeah, nah. Yeah.
Shit's weird, man. All right, everyone watching, everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I do want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to 4 new patrons who have joined us.
Wow.
I want to thank Tim, Rachel,
hey, Tim.
Brian, and
hey,
Patty.
Wow.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Patty.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for supporting us. It really helps. Listen, and if you want to support us, and even if you don't have anything to spare for Patreon, like if you want to support us, if you want to help us out, tell a friend about us. Leave a like or a good review, or you know, or whatever, wherever you're watching. We really appreciate it. It helps us. But tell a friend about us. They're like, hey, these guys have a good time. They have a wacky adventure. It's great. And yeah, and if you want to get the episodes a week early, you want to get the sanity checks, consider Patreon. It's just $3 a month. You help us out a lot. But guys, I want to thank you for doing this with me again. For Dace, for doing all the moving around he has to do to make this work.
We had some technical issues earlier.
But yeah. Guys, great job today.
Great job. Thank you, Joe.
It's fun. Thanks, man.
Yeah. If you are watching live with us, stay tuned. We will return. For everyone else, again, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.